So my project is looking at the application of biochar to agricultural soils and how this may reduce labile carbon losses and decrease the apparent temperature sensitivity of these soils. So biochar is organic matter that has undergone pyrolysis, which is combustion under low to no oxygen conditions. This results in a very aromatic and recalcitrant substance with a high carbon content that, when applied to soils, may alter their chemical and physical properties. Biochar is being utilized as a way to help address two global issues. The first of these is to aid in mitigating climate change by increasing soil carbon sequestration, as well as increasing food security by maintaining or increasing soil fertility and crop yields. The biochar used in this project is a wood chip biochar, which is pictured on the right. The pyrolysis was a continuous flow reactor at 600 degrees C, and it was created from spruce, pine, and fir wood scraps. It has a neutral pH, a percent carbon of 84.5%, low nitrogen, 3% ash con, and 12% volatile matter. It was created from by Diacarbon, which is a Canadian company. This project took place on the island of Oahu, which is located in the Hawaiian island chain in the Pacific Island region. The picture on the bottom left is the solar orders of Oahu, and our study site is marked, which is also the picture on the right. The soil used is an oxisol soil, so very highly weathered, acidic soil that is low in calcium and magnesium. There are four different treatments, so this control oxisol, the plus biochar at a 1% application rate, plus organic fertilizer, which was a blood meal, and then adding both of these together. So the picture on the right is making up these mixtures, which were then separated out into pots with four replicates. The soil was then subsampled, so I call these the pre-plant soils. In a greenhouse, corn was then planted and allowed to grow for 6 weeks in these soils. The corn was harvested, and then the soil was again subsampled. So these are the post-harvest soils. For the study, we are interested in looking at how the biochar and the organic fertilizer change over a crop cycle. These soils had been air-dried, so we saturated them and then drained them to bring them back to field capacity. They are weighed out in chambers and then fitted with lids with septa. And we added a fifth treatment, which was biochar by itself, in order to see if there's any respiration due to the biochar alone. These incubations were utilized to assess the quality of the soil carbon. Samples were inoculated to help promote microbial activity, and throughout this experiment, we did account for the carbon due to the biochar. This was a three-point temperature incubation, so 16 degrees C, 21, which is roughly ambient, and then 26 degrees C. There was 12 sampling points over 49 days, and specifically we looked at CO2. So you can see the incubator, followed by sampling, and then the Perkinelmer, which was the machine we used to measure CO2. So our results at 21 C, again, that ambient temperature, this is labile carbon, and it's in terms of grams of carbon, or soil carbon, which again, we did subtract out that biochar carbon. So the graph on the left is the pre-plant soils, and then on the right is the post-harvest soils. This is a two-way ANOVA, so the statistics apply for both graphs. As expected, the organic fertilizer had a larger labile carbon loss. The biochar had none, little to no respiration, but you can see that the biochar did not change the labile carbon. However, when you look at the right graph, if you look at the plus organic fertilizer plus biochar, you can see that the labile carbon is still significantly higher than all three treatments, and it is not significantly different than the initial labile carbon in the pre-plant soils. This indicates that somehow the biochar is prolonging this effect of the organic fertilizer. This implication could be that perhaps you may not need to apply as much organic fertilizer, or you may be able to increase the time between repeated applications. This trend continues in the labile carbon change. So we took the pre-plant soils and subtracted out the post-harvest labile carbon. As you can see, the plus organic fertilizer had the highest change from pre to post. But when you add biochar, so that plus biochar plus organic fertilizer, you see there is a significant decrease. Again, indicating that throughout a crop cycle, if you have biochar added to your organic fertilizer, you're going to see less of a change in labile carbon. Lastly, we looked at temperature sensitivity, which is graphing those 3 points of the three temperatures and taking their slope. You can see, once again, in the plus organic fertilizer, the pre-plant soils have a very high temperature sensitivity, which then decreases over the course of that crop cycle. However, If you were to add biochar to that organic fertilizer, there is no change in temperature sensitivity between the pre-plant and the post-harvest. Importantly, yields did not decrease when you added biochar. So this indicates that the biochar is not inhibiting the organic fertilizer from working properly. It's still releasing nutrients to the soil, so there's something else occurring. We have a couple of ideas as to what could be happening. We believe there may be a shift from R strategist to K strategist. So R have a more of a boom and bust population, respond quickly to inputs of labile carbon, whereas K tend to be more of a stable population. We also believe there may be a shift in microbial community structure and function. So biochar may be providing microhabitats that allow certain microbial communities to thrive in these smaller protected spaces, as opposed to the open soil community. There also may be an increase in microbial carbon use efficiency. Third, there may, studies have found an increase in fungi over bacteria in biochar-amended soils. This is important because fungi tend to allocate carbon differently. They store more carbon in our biomass as opposed to respiring it. Fungi also have the ability to form hyphal bridges and symbioses with plants, so they may be getting their carbon from these plants rather than from the soil. They also have a higher ability to tolerate alkaline environments, so if you're adding a very high pH biochar and you may be creating these pockets of alkalinity that allow the fungi to do better than the bacteria. Fourthly, there may be a shift in carbon mineralizing enzymatic activity. So beta-glucosidase, which is an enzyme associated with the breakdown of carbon in soils, or carbohydrates in soils, has been shown to decrease in the presence of biochar. Lastly, there may be biochar protection. So it may be sorbing this organic matter or aiding in the formation of organomineral complexes. And the micropores may inhibit enzymes from fitting properly to this organic matter in the biochar. So this project has some implications. If not a whole lot of work has been done on the temperature sensitivity of biochar when applied to soils. So if we find perhaps it becomes less effective at higher temperatures or even has a negative impact, it's important to determine this before we go applying it to fields as a way to mitigate climate change where you may be actually making it worse. It also looks at biochar's effectiveness over time. So we found that over a crop cycle, there was still an effective impact of biochar on the organic fertilizer even after 6 weeks. It also shows that if you have biochar and organic fertilizer, you may be protecting your existing soil labile carbon pool rather than respiring it off when you add any sort of input. Lastly, it shows that we are still seeing an impact of biochar, but it's not negatively impacting these crop yields. So this project was the precursor to a much larger project. So this is looking at anaerobic digestive biochar, which was created by the same company, and expanding that oxisol to both an oxisol and a mollisol, both located on Oahu. So this is a 2-year field scale trial. And sticking with the sweet corn, which undergoes traditional tillage within the field, as well as Napier grass, which is a bioenergy crop that experiences a return harvest, so we're not disturbing the soil over these 2 years. We are interested in looking at biochar's impacts on crop yields, soil properties, microbial community function and structure, greenhouse gas emissions, and if this is all economically feasible. So taking this incubation as well as the field scale trial, my next research looks at utilizing the soil after 2 crop cycles, as well as expanding this temperature range to 9 points to see if there's a threshold effect to what we are finding. And then the field is receiving organic fertilizer in all plots, so we've taken out that variable, but added in the oxisol soil with and without the biochar, taken from the Napier plots, the corn plots, and bare plots, which have been weeded to maintain bare soil. Then repeating these treatments in the mollisol. In addition, instead of looking at just CO2, I will be looking at CO2, N2O, and CH4. Thank you, and I will take questions.
Yeah, we have 4 minutes for questions. We have 3 minutes back.
So the meeting here is really interesting. It shows that the fertilizer emission increases the temperature sensitivity by itself, but with the biochar, plus the fertilizer emission, so it's the temperature.
Correct. It also, there's a higher temperature sensitivity without biochar in the pre-plant soils, which sort of decreases in the post-plant, whereas there's no change when you add biochar, either pre-plant or post-harvest.
I wonder whether you consider nutrient availability as it affects your temperature sensitivity, whether you have any data.
a little bit. Yeah, we were excited to see that there were no crop differences, so we're at least the plants are still able to access enough nutrients to survive over 6 weeks. So we're interested in seeing in the field trial, which is going on for 2 years, if we do end up seeing a decrease in the sort of plant tissue analysis, which we're doing in the field, so seeing if there's any nutrient change with the biochar.